We're going to do something a little bit unusual. We're going to read the whole book of Philemon. Fortunately, it's only 25 verses, but we're going to read the whole letter to Philemon before we actually start this evening. So, starting in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee from my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a reason, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee that how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the fellowship we've already had and enjoyed. Help us this evening, Father. Help me to be speaking your word and the truth. Help me, Father, to be saying what you would want me to say. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this epistle is one of the epistles that comes under the subheading, I guess, of a private letter. There is a school of thought that says this letter was never meant to be published. It was always meant to be a private letter between Philemon and Paul. As we look in this epistle, there's a few characters that stick out. And most of us know the story well enough. I'm just going to go over it quickly so we get an idea of what's going on here. So Philemon is the guy it's written to. He's the master of the house. We see good things written about him. Paul seems to know him personally. His wife's name is Apphia, there in verse 2. And Archippus is believed to be his son. Also in Colossians, I think it's chapter 4, it mentions Aristarchus again and talks about him being pastor in Colossia, whatever, however you say that. Colossae, that place. He's the pastor there. He also being the son of Philemon. The other two main characters in this story is Paul, the man who's in prison. I think this is the first period he was in prison, from what I remember. And Onesimus. Now, Onesimus is the guy this is all about. Onesimus' name means profitable, means useful. And as we look through this story, we find out that to start with, Onesimus was not profitable and he was not useful. He was a slave that ran away. He was, from what I can tell, what they would have called an urban slave. He lived in the house with the family. He had the run of the house. He was technically a slave, but he was also afforded certain privileges working inside the house with the family. He was a trusted member of the staff in Philemon's house. And from what we can see about Philemon in this book, he wasn't a cruel man. He wasn't a harsh master. But as we look through it, we see that Onesimus is a runaway slave and also a thief. we see that he's not only left what he should be doing, but he's also stolen from his master as well. Somewhere after Onesimus runs away, he ends up in Rome and he runs into Paul. And as he's with Paul, he comes to the Savior, he gets saved, and he realizes that there are things that he needs to fix. There are things that he has done that he needs to atone for. And he goes to Paul and talks to Paul, and Paul writes this letter of commendation, pretty much, to Philemon. Often in this book, we focus on Onesimus. We talk about the classic prodigal son kind of idea with a man leaving and getting saved and converted and coming back a changed person. It is a good story of reconciliation, of redemption. And if I was Onesimus, I might have run away too. I don't think I would have wanted to be a slave either. But we want to look tonight more at Philemon. We want to look at the master of the house who the wrong has been done to. We want to look at the master of the house and what he does. So, let's start with Philemon and the fact that I can't read my writing. Nope, I got it. It's all right. Sometimes I switch between my own personal language and this one, and it mixes up the letters, but I've got it. Okay, verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. So first of all, the first part of that verse, in time past, was to thee unprofitable. Philemon, the first thing that seems to stick up about Philemon was he had been wronged. Someone had stolen from him. Someone that he would have trusted to a certain extent with the things in his house. You don't normally lock up stuff inside your house from other people living inside your house. Philemon had a level of trust with his slaves, with his servants. He would have had to, otherwise they wouldn't have been allowed to be in his house with him. And so when Onesimus decides to steal and to run away, he wrongs Philemon. Now, you can argue about whether he should have been a slave to start with or not, but the fact remains that he did steal. And as Christians today, I don't think there's many of us that could say, nobody's ever wronged me. Nobody's ever hurt my feelings. There's a little comic of a little boy asking for a cookie from his mum, and the mum says, what's the magic word? And the little boy says, I'm offended. And that was the magic word to get him what he wanted. And today it's such a rite of passage to be offended by something. And sometimes they're real things and sometimes they're not. And it's easy for either of those things to stick. And I've been offended by this and I'm going to hold on to this. And it would have been easy for Philemon, as the master of the house, to hold on to that grudge, to send the Roman legions or at least some centurions or something like that out to find this runaway slave. Because Rome was terrified of runaway slaves. There was a hefty price to pay if you ran away and were caught. You very easily could be crucified. Because the Romans were terrified of a slave uprising. We know that happened twice at least in Rome's history, where the slaves did rise up. And so being a runaway slave was not just a man looking for his freedom. It was a potential terrorist to the Romans. He was somebody that they wanted caught, taken off the streets, and never heard from again. So Onesimus is risking a great deal to do this thing that he wants to do. And in doing so, he needs funds. He takes the funds from his master and he disappears. And at this point, Onesimus is disappeared. This is not like the modern day. There's no internet. You can't put a picture on Facebook and go, have you seen this man wanted by the Romans? Philemon most likely would have cut his losses and said, well, I'm never going to catch this guy. He's disappeared. There's nowhere to trace him. He's gone. And he most likely would have just forgotten about him or at least moved on. If he was a less spiritual man, he may have done what I would probably do and hold on to that and go, if I ever see this fella again, he's going to be chained up next to the kitchen sink and he's never leaving again. And he's just going to be my dishwasher for the rest of his life. It would have been easy to hold that grudge. It would have been easy to be bitter against this man. It would have been easy to speak out against him to other people. And it would have traveled down the grapevine. It would have eventually got to Paul. Philemon lost a slave and he was a terrible person. But we don't see that. We don't see Paul or anybody having any idea of who Onesimus is until Onesimus actually tells them. So first thing we see is that Philemon was wronged. I don't think we can disagree with that. In verse 18 it says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Paul is acknowledging here, yes, there's been some damage. There's been damage to your personal property. This man has done the wrong thing. And it's important for us as Christians to acknowledge that people are going to wrong us. It's something as Christians we're not going to be able to avoid. What's important is how we deal with what's happened. So, let's go to verse 12 here. We see that he had a capacity for forgiveness. Verse 12 says, whom I have sent again, there therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Now, if we look through these verses, we'll look at a couple more in a sec. Actually, we'll look at them now. Verse 5, when Paul is just introducing the letter, he says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. There's a capacity we see here for Philemon to forgive. As a human being, he has free will. He has the choice to hold on to that grudge and let it eat him up inside, or to forgive what's happened. Whether Onesimus ever comes back or not, if he holds on to that grudge, it's going to eat him up inside and everyone else is going to suffer as well. Now, when Paul asks Philemon to forgive Onesimus, he puts Philemon in an interesting position, because as master of the house, he can kind of be two ways. He can either be lenient and go, yes, I will forgive this man, which encourages all his other slaves to go, hey, this guy got off scot-free and now he's back. I bet I can take the same amount of money and disappear. And he's almost setting a precedent for other people to do the wrong by him. On the other hand, if he's too harsh, if he's harsh in his judgment of Onesimus, it's going to hurt his ministry. It's going to hurt his family. It's going to hurt Paul, because Paul makes it about him as well. If you look in a few of these verses, where is it? He talks about being his own bowels a couple of times. Verse 12, receive him, that is mine own bowels. And then in verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. He's saying, don't just look at this guy as the scumbag slave who robbed you. Look at him as someone coming from Paul, looking as someone who's coming from one of your brothers in Christ, as one of your brothers in Christ. Matthew 18 talks about when I think it's Peter asks Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times, 70 times. And Jesus says 70 times 7. What he's saying is, I don't know what 70 times 7 is, I have no idea, but he's not saying count down all those numbers, tattoo them on your person's back, and when it gets to that number, kick them. He's not saying that at all. He's saying don't keep track. Don't keep track of what's going on. Once you've forgiven somebody, you need to move on. Don't hold on to the grudges that you have, because that's what causes most of the problems. Now in verse 12, where it said receive, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. The idea of receiving here isn't just let him back into your house. Receive here, when you look at it, it talks about to take to yourself, to grant access to your heart. It's not just saying let him come and be a slave again. He's saying let him come in as a member of your family. Let him come in as someone who is in the inner circle of your life, somebody who you trust. And that's hard to do with someone who just stole from you. It's hard to go, you know what, last time I saw you, you were running out the back door with pockets full of coins, but now come in and I'll give you a key to the safe. It's a hard thing to do. And Paul is asking Philemon to do something that isn't humanly possible without God. That we can't do that as normal human beings that aren't saved. We don't have the capacity to forgive like that. And so Paul is making it about God here. So we see he has the capacity to forgive. And then, like it says in verse 12, when it talks about receiving, he has the capacity for acceptance. If we look in verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. When Onesimus left, he was a sinner and a slave. When Onesimus comes back, because Onesimus comes with this letter, when he comes back as a saint, and Paul is asking as a brother to Philemon, not as a servant, as a brother. And that brings back ideas of the prodigal son once again. And Paul is almost reminding Philemon of the story of the prodigal son. Go going, yes, he left and he was in disgrace, but now he's come back and I want you to accept him more than you did that when he left. Which is, it's a hard thing to do. Now, I've written down Galatians chapter 3 here, so I'm going to turn there real quick. Galatians 3, 28. Okay. Let's start in verse 27. Actually, 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So as he reminds Philemon, Onesimus and I are one because we're brothers in Christ, he's reminding Philemon, Onesimus and you are one. You're of the same family as the person who's wounded you. And when we think about our lives as Christians today, that is very often the case. We have people in our churches who, accidentally or not, will wound us with words or with actions or whatever it is. And it's important for us to remember that we are one body, that we are one family, and that the problems that we have aren't big in the long run. I don't remember how many times my brothers and I wounded each other as children, physically and emotionally. There's a scar on my brother's hand that I gave him from a noodle. I don't know anyone else who has a scar from a noodle, but that's an interesting one. There's, I don't think my brothers caused any of my broken bones. They were my friends. But I don't remember all the times that me and Callum accidentally hit each other in the face with a sword or shot arrows at each other and nearly did the wrong thing. But all of those things pale in comparison to the fact that we're brothers. Yes, I will shoot arrows at Callum. But if anyone else shoots arrows at Callum, you're in trouble. That's my job. Family trumps hurt. When we think about our lives physically and spiritually, family trumps the offenses we think we feel. When we're in heaven, when we're going through eternity in heaven, we're not going to be thinking that person hurt my feelings that one time 3,000 years ago. We're going to be thinking, I'm so glad that person's here with me today in heaven. Paul is reminding slowly through this 25 verses. He's talking to Philemon, not as take your slave back, but as take your brother back. And he doesn't talk about him as a slave. He talks about him as being profitable, as being a brother, as being family. And then we see Philemon had capacity to love like Jesus loved. Verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If we look through this passage in verse 5, it says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Philemon didn't have a problem loving the saints. He has a reputation for loving the saints. He has a reputation for his house being open. He talks about, in verse 7, we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He uses a lot of family language in this chapter book. We don't see that so often in the public epistles. He's talking to the churches, whereas here he's talking to a man. A man that he has a personal relationship, and he's reminding him over and over, we are family. We are family. This guy is family as well. So Philemon had no problem dealing with other Christians. The missionaries that came through, they had a place to stay. The people in the church, it says the church was in his house in the end of verse 3, the church in thy house. Onesimus was the test. Onesimus was the litmus test for what he was really like. Because we can be friendly to people who are friendly to us all day long. I can do it about half a day, but most people can go all day long. Onesimus, the people who rub us the wrong way, that's the test. That's the test that God's given each and every one of us when it comes to being offended, to being wounded. There are people who are just going to, we don't get on. And it might be something that we're doing or something that we're saying. But those are the people that God's put in our lives to test us, to grow us. We don't grow in love if we love people that just love us back. We grow in our love and in our walk with God when we love people back who don't love us back. That's where the test is, and that's what is testing here for Philemon. Paul gave Philemon a goal here, I guess. And his goal was, Philemon, you need to love others in spite of what they have done to you. You don't love others because of what they do to you. You love them in spite of what they do to you. And there's a big difference there. We don't know much about Philemon beyond this book. But Paul knew him pretty well. Because I think my favorite verse in the whole book is verse 21. Paul says, "Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." He's not just going to do the bare minimum. He's not just going to let him in his house because Paul told him to. He's going to do more. He's going to go extra, the extra mile, the extra steps. He's not just going to give him a key to the house. He's going to let him sleep inside again. He's going to give him keys to the safe and let him organize the security and all of these things that he probably wasn't doing before because he's going the extra step. As Christians, it's very easy, I guess, once we're in the forgiving mood to forgive somebody, but to forgive them and do more is an alien concept to me most of the time. But Philemon was the kind of man that Paul had confidence in, enough confidence that he didn't send the letter ahead of Onesimus. He sent it with Onesimus. Here's Onesimus, and here's the letter at the same time. And he says in verse 21, "I have confidence in thy obedience. I know you're going to do the right thing." Now that's a pretty great thing for someone to be able to say about you. I know you're going to do the right thing, and I know you're actually going to do more than I'm asking of you. Philemon had a very good reputation, and it was well deserved. Now the Bible doesn't tell us what happens here, but church history kind of does. I was looking at some stuff this afternoon, and in 110 AD, there was a man named Ignatius, who was the bishop of Antioch. He wrote a letter to Ephesus. This is about 50 years after this book was written. To the pastor of Ephesus. Yes. He mentions the pastor's name 20-something times in that letter. And the pastor's name in the letter is Onesimus. I don't know whether it's the same man. But if it was, if we say Onesimus was a 20-ish when he ran away, he would have been about 70 at this time, and a pastor in Ephesus. Not even the same city where he was beginning. And if that's the man, men think it is because of the way it's written. It's written to remind Onesimus of Philemon, is what they say. Ignatius wrote it. I haven't read it. It's probably in a different language. But for a slave to go from a runaway slave coming back to his master accepts him. His master lets him in, shows him all the love that he never had before in his life. He's part of a family physically. He's part of a family spiritually. He's joined the church. He's growing. And years later, he becomes pastor of another church. He's trusted enough to go to another city by himself. At some point, Philemon lets him go. Philemon says, "You're no longer a slave. He's a free man. He can do what he wants." And so he goes and he becomes pastor at another place. There's also evidence, I don't know what it is, but this is what they tell me. There is evidence that it was Onesimus who collected and preserved a lot of Paul's writings. Onesimus is the one who collected the letters. And I wonder if Onesimus kept this letter. He kept the original letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. All these years, 50 years as a pastor in Ephesus, reminding him every single day, "I could have been a slave for the rest of my life, but God saved me. Spiritually I'm free, and now I'm physically free because of my spiritual family." I think he kept it. He kept that letter. Philemon, maybe when he let him go, maybe when he freed him, he said, "You better keep this. Keep this letter." And Philemon let him go, and Onesimus kept it for years and years as he traveled. He traveled between Colossae and Ephesus and collected the letters that he'd written to churches and different epistles and kept them until they became part of the Bible. And it was Onesimus that gave us part of this Bible, not because he wrote it, but because he kept it, because of the blessings that it had been to him. We don't know what blessings our forgiveness will have in the future. It might just be a little thing today. Yes, I'll forgive you. But if we do it right, if we do it in the Spirit of God, it can lead to much greater blessings later on. We know later on that Onesimus was martyred, and I forget which emperor did it. But according to church history, he died a martyr in Ephesus. 50 years later, let's just say he was 20, 50 years after he was saved, living those 50 years as a free man, spiritually and physically, bringing glory to God. And it wasn't because he was an amazing person, and it wasn't because he had done enough to deserve this. It was because of the forgiving nature of Philemon. It was because Philemon was willing to do what God and Paul asked him to do, to accept someone who'd offended them, to accept someone who'd hurt them. And the blessings that came from that, we can't really measure in our day and age the blessings that came out of Philemon accepting Onesimus back into his home. We have people in our lives who are our Onesimuses, and we hold on to a grudge, and we hold on to the pain that they gave us, and we think about it, and when we start feeling good, we think about it some more, so we feel grumpy again. We can do that for the rest of our lives, or we can be like Philemon. We can let go of that burden, we can forgive, and above forgive, we can let them back in, we can trust them, and see the blessings that God will give us later on. We don't know what the blessings will be, but if Onesimus and Philemon are an example, it's an exciting thing to think about. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you again for this day that you've given us. We pray, Father, that you'd be working in us. Help us, Father, to be drawing closer to you, to be reading your word, to be looking for people who've offended us, who we've offended. Lord, help us to make these things right. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.